Let's go ahead and begin. This is Mark, also known as John Mark, and this is the only gospel where we read about John Mark's role at the Mount of Olives when Jesus was arrested. And the other gospel narratives don't talk about it. But it was a little bit of an embarrassing moment for John Mark. And it was up to him to include it, I guess. All right, but let's go ahead and begin. After 2 days, the Passover of unleavened bread was to come, and the high priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize him by craft and kill him. That's what we have there, all right. And they said, not during the feast, for it may cause a riot among the people. When he was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, while he reclined, there came a woman who had with her an alabaster vessel of perfume of pure nard, of good quality and very expensive, and she opened it and poured it upon the head of Jesus. But there were some men of the disciples who were displeased within themselves and said, why was this perfume wasted? For it could have been sold for more than 300 pennies and given to the poor. So they annoyed her. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work to me. For you always have the poor with you. And when you wish, you can do good to them. But I am not always with you. But this one has done it with what she had. She anointed my body in advance for the burial. And truly I say to you, wherever this my gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told as a memorial to her. I just find that so touching. Somebody did what they were led by the Holy Spirit to do. A simple little thing. Got everybody else hacked off at her. And Jesus said, whenever the story is told, she will be remembered. Amen? Then Judas Iscariot, okay, there we go. Then Judas of Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the high priest to deliver Jesus to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought an opportunity to deliver him. On the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Jews sacrificed the Passover, his disciples said to him, where do you wish that we go and prepare the Passover for you to eat? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go to the city, and behold, you will meet a man carrying a vessel of water. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, our master says, where is the guest chamber where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. And his disciples went out and came to the city, and they found just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with his twelve, and when they were reclining and eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you, one of you who eats with me, he will betray me. And they began to feel troubled, and they said to him one by one, is it I? But he said to them, the one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish, the Son of Man will go, but it is written of him, as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whose hand the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man never to have been born. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said to them, take it, this is my body. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he blessed it, and he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the sake of many. Truly, I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And they offered praise and went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will deny me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and his sheep will scatter. But when I am risen, I will be in Galilee before you. Peter said to him, even if all of them should deny you, but not I. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, that you today, in this night, before the cock crows twice, will deny me three times. But he kept telling him still more, even if I must die with you, I will never deny you. Oh, my Lord. And the disciples said also, like him. And they came to a place which is called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit down here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and oppressed. And he said to them, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. Wait for me and keep awake. And he went a little aside, and he fell on the ground, and he prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass away from him. And he said, Abba, Ave, O Father, my Father, you can do everything. Make this cup pass away from me, but not according to my will, but yours. And he came, and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not keep awake even for 1 hour? Awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing and ready, but the body is weak. He went away again and prayed, and he said the same word. And he returned again and came and found them sleeping. That's them right down here, all sound asleep, because their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. Then he came the third time, and he said to them, from now on, sleep and get rest. The end has arrived, and the hour has come. And behold, the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us go. Behold, he who is to deliver me is near. And while he was speaking, Judas of Iscariot, one of the 12, came, and many other people with swords and staves from the high priest and the scribes and the elders. And the traitor who was to do the delivering gave them a sign. And he said, he whom I kiss, it is he. Seize him carefully and take him away. And immediately he drew near and said to him, my teacher, my teacher. And he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood by drew a sword and struck it at the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said to them, have you come out against me as against a bandit? With swords and staves to arrest me? I was with you every day teaching in the temple, and you did not arrest me. But this has happened so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So his disciples left him and fled. And a young man was following him naked with a loincloth around him, and they seized him, and he left the loincloth and fled naked. So, that is John Mark. I had to touch it up a little bit for sensitive eyes. We've been some of the artists of old were quite literal in their renditions. And so he was just a young man. He was not one of Mark's disciples. He was actually one of Jesus' disciples. He would actually be closer to St. Paul. But he was a young man who lived, his house is right next to the garden. And so he would see these things going. Jesus and his disciples came there quite often. And so most theologians agree that John Mark was an associate. He kind of hung with them and, you know, was taught and whatever, but he wasn't considered a disciple at that point. And then, again, he looks out. There's Jesus and the disciples. And so he goes down to see what's going on. And then he gets caught up in all of the fray. Let me see. And he left naked. And they took Jesus to Caiaphas, the high priest. And there gathered to him all the high priests and the scribes and the elders. But Simon followed him afar off, up to the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants, warming himself before the fire. And the high priest and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they could not find it. For even though many testified against him, their testimonies were not worthy. Then some men who were false witnesses stood up against him and said, "We heard him say, 'I will tear down this temple, which is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another which is not made with hands.' But even the testimony was not worthy." Then the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus and said, "Do you not answer? What do these testify against you?" But Jesus was silent and made no answer. Again the high priest asked him and said, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus said to him, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming upon the clouds of the sky." And the high priest, the high priest tore his robe and said, "Why therefore do we need witnesses? Behold, you have heard blasphemy from his own mouth. What do you think?" And they all decided that he was guilty of death. Then some of the men began to spit in his face and to cover his face and to strike him on his head, saying, "Prophesy!" And the soldiers smote him on his cheeks. And when Simon was below in the courtyard, there came a young maidservant of the high priest. And she saw him warming himself and looked at him and said to him, "You were also with Jesus the Nazarene." But he denied it, and he said, "I do not understand what you are saying." Then he went out to the porch, and the cock crowed. And the same young maid saw him and began to say to those who stood by, "This one also is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter, "Truly, you are one of them, for you are also a Galilean, and even your speech is like theirs." And he began to curse and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And at that very hour, the cock crowed the second time. And Simon remembered the word that Jesus said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me thrice." And then he began to weep. And immediately in the morning, the high priest took counsel together with the elders and the scribes and with the whole council. And they bound Jesus and took him away and delivered him to Pilate, the governor. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered and said to him, "You say that." And the high priest accused him of many things. Then Pilate asked him again and said, "Do you not answer? See how many are testifying against you?" But Jesus gave no answer, so that Pilate marveled. Now it was the custom of every feast to release to them one prisoner whom they asked for. There was one called Barabbas, who was bound with those who made insurrection, and who had committed murder during the insurrection. And the people cried out and began to ask to do for them according to the custom. And Pilate answered and said, "Are you willing that I release to you the king of the Jews?" For Pilate knew that the high priest had delivered him because of envy. Wow. You know, most of the problems in the church today. But the high priest incited the people the more that he should release, that they should release Barabbas to them. And Pilate said to them, "What then do you wish me to do to this man whom you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "What evil has he done?" But they cried aloud the more, "Crucify him." Now Pilate wanted to do the will of the people, so he released Barabbas to them, and he delivered to them Jesus, scourged to be crucified. Then the soldiers took him to the inner courtyard, which is the praetorium, and they called together the whole company, and they dressed him in purple and wove a crown of thorns and put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Oh, hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed, and they spat on his face, and they knelt on their knees and worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple and put on his own clothes and took him out to crucify him. And they compelled one who was passing by, Simon the Cyrenian, who was coming from the field, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And for those of you that don't know, Simon the Cyrenian was a black man. Very rare that you will see a picture of, you know, this being portrayed the way that it actually was. But, you know, as backwards as this country had been in its original founding, it's important for us to know that, you know, when Jesus needed help, it was a black guy that helped him. And they brought him to Golgotha, a place which is interpreted the skull. And they gave him drink wine mixed with myrrh, but he would not take it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes and cast lots on them, what each man should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the reason for his death was inscribed in writing, "This is the King of the Jews." And they crucified him with two bandits, one on his right, one on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, he was reckoned with the wicked. Even those who passed by blasphemed against him, nodding their heads and saying, "O destroyer of the temple and builder of it in 3 days, deliver yourself and come down from the cross." And the high priests likewise were laughing amongst themselves with the scribes and saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. O Christ, the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe in him." And even those who were crucified with him reproached him. And when the sixth hour was come, which is noon, there was a darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, which would have been 3 o'clock. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, Eli, Eli, lamana sabachthani, which means, my God, for this I was kept. And as we have learned in the past, it was not a shout of defeat. In the Aramaic, it was a shout of victory. Queen Esther was told, who knows, but that you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And at this point, Jesus was acknowledging, this is why he came into the kingdom. This is why he was born. This is why all this happened. This was the time for which he was kept. And some of the men who were standing by, when they heard it, they said, he calls for Elijah. And one man ran and filled a sponge with vinegar and tied it on a reed to give him a drink. And he said, hush, let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. But Jesus cried with a loud voice, and the end came. And the door curtain of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion who stood by saw him, and he saw that he cried out in this manner and passed away, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. There we go. And there were also women. Oops, went too far. There we go. There were also women who were looking from afar. Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James the young, and Joses and Salome, who had followed him when he was in Galilee and ministered to him, and many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. And when it was Friday evening, which was before the Sabbath, then came Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, who was also waiting for the kingdom of God. And he dared and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. But Pilate marveled that he was already dead. So he called the centurion and asked him if he had died before the time. And when he learned it, he gave the body to Joseph. And Joseph brought linen and took him down and wrapped him in it and laid him in a tomb which was hewn in the rock. And he rolled the stone against the door of the tomb. But Mary of Magdala and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. And that is the end of the passion of Jesus. I left it with an open door. Amen. Because that's to remind us. Bob, you can turn the lights back on, please. That's to remind us that, yes, he went into that tomb. There are a lot of religious leaders in this world that went into their tomb. And you can go there and visit their remains in that tomb. But our Savior went into that tomb, but he didn't stay there. Amen? You think this is a busy week for us in the church. This was a busy time for Jesus. And descending into hell, beating up the devil in his own backyard, taking all of the Old Testament saints up to heaven because now his blood was shed. Before, the Old Testament saints, they couldn't go to heaven. I don't know if you're aware of that. They had to go to the place of paradise. All right? And which was not a bad place. It was a comfortable place. It was called Abraham's bosom. And there they stayed for 1,000 years, hundreds of years, I imagine Adam and Eve were there and everything. But once the blood of Jesus had been shed, that perfect sacrifice, Now their sins were not covered. Their sins are washed away. And so he was able to lead captivity captive. And what we talk about a Jericho march. All right. I don't know if Jericho march. That's old church there. And when you were going to claim a property for your church or whatever, you'd get the whole bunch of people together. We had Jericho marches when we were building Mason Road Assembly. And we would march around that property, and I'm sure people thought we had all, you know, fell off the bus or something. You know, my goodness, what is wrong with those people? We were claiming that. This is for God. Well, when Jesus led that group of literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of believers, Old Testament believers, into glory, I'm sure it was not a quiet procession. I'm sure there was some hooting and hollering and people just being so excited that, because they've been looking forward to this. They knew, you know, Messiah's going to have to die. And they were waiting for it. And now Messiah has come, has destroyed. The Bible says that Jesus put his foot on the neck of the devil to show before all of Satan's captains and lieutenants and all of that, yeah, let me show you who's the boss of this place. And then stripped Satan of his power over death and hell and took captivity captive. Amen. And took them up into heaven. And so, busy week for our Savior. He just wasn't resting in the tomb. And then to appear 1 week, from today, in a resurrected body, which is just a body that is not subject to the rules of nature. And it's the same body that the Word assures us we are going to have at the resurrection. Amen. When the remains of this body, the dust to dust and ashes to ashes, are reunited with our soul and our spirits when Jesus comes back, then we all will have these glorified bodies. And I don't know about you, this week has been kind of rough for me. I've been feeling kind of puny. This is the first morning this week that I have felt great. And it is going to be wonderful to wake up in heaven and never have a puny day again. Amen. Wake up in heaven and never have an ache or a pain. Amen. How many of you woke up, your eyes opened up, you said, oh, praise God, it's Sunday, and then you went to roll out of bed and your body reminded you. Okay. Your mind says you're 30, your body says you're 80. And, but that's not going to happen with those glorified bodies. Amen. So, I hope you enjoyed this. When I did this and I went through it myself, it just meant so much for me to have the pictures that I could associate it. And so we're just going to leave it there. I'm not going to preach at you today. I added a few things during the narration, and I think that's enough. So.